you. Hopefully my studies this week have been better than Keith's understanding of Scottish villages. It's Cuckabree, Keith, not Cuckabrick. So if you know where Cuckabrick is, well done, because that place does not exist. We just hand this time over to you now. Open our hearts, open our minds, Lord, and let us draw closer to you through your word. Amen. So I wonder if you have ever needed to be rescued. Maybe your car broke down and you had to get towed home. Or maybe you got lost somewhere and you had to get rescued by somebody. And you sat there waiting for that moment of salvation to come. Well, I want to tell you a little story about a time that I needed to get rescued. It was about 10 years ago when I was away on a weekend with the cadet force. It's an outdoor center we went to, and we were doing some canoeing that day. Now, the center was sheltered by a little island located beside the sea. So the plan was that we would canoe out to this island, have some lunch, and then canoe around the island and come back home. Now, all was well while we were sheltered by the island. But as we got further around the island, the waves started to get a bit bigger, the wind started to pick up, and no matter how hard we paddled, we just seemed to be going nowhere. So we got onto the shore of the island and started to connect up our canoes using battens so that we could cope with the waves and continue our journey and get back home. This was all great until they ran out of battens when it came to doing my canoe. So my canoe and the other canoe weren't battened together, they were just tied side by side, and we headed off. It was a little easier. There was more power, there was more stability when we were together. However, because we were only tied, the water began to splash up between the canoes and slowly started filling them up more and more. And with the waves and the wind, we just couldn't cope anymore. So the safety boat had to come and tow all of the groups back to shore. Now, being teenagers, we obviously took this very seriously and waited patiently for the safety boat and did not attack any of the other canoes that were in our vicinity. As we tried to attack them and tip their canoes and splash them, the safety boat came back and took the other groups away from us, leaving us by ourselves. When we calmed down a little bit and tried to start paddling again, we realized that we had lost two of our paddles into the sea. I looked around and seen them only a few meters away and thought I can swim there. So I quickly dived in, swam over and grabbed the paddles and turned around and realized that the current had taken me away from my canoes. I started to panic a little bit, tried to swim back, but as the water was freezing, I started to struggle to breathe. As the waves came over, I started to struggle to be able to swim. The guys in the canoe started to paddle as hard as they could to get to me. With some avail they did. I threw the paddles away and swam as hard as I could, screaming for them to come over. Thankfully, we got together and they dragged me out of the water. However, our struggles weren't over yet because of all this conundrum, we had forgot about how the water was coming into one of our canoes, which slowly started to sink. So with the two canoes now strapped together, one sunk underneath the canoe and we had four idiots just sitting in one canoe, unable to move it because there was an anchor of water below the canoe. So we started to scream for help to the lifeboat, shouting for it to come back and to save us before it would save everybody else. After what felt like forever, salvation finally came, and the safety boat picked us all up and took us safely back to shore. Needless to say, they were not pleased. You see, we started by shouting, "Mayday, mayday, mayday," looking for our salvation. And I wonder, in your life, are you shouting mayday at the moment? Are you shouting mayday, 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 and looking for that salvation that you so desperately need? Well, here in the text, Zechariah is not shouting mayday. He's shouting salvation, salvation, salvation. And the question tonight is, will you or have you accepted that salvation? The text is clearly divided into two categories: those that have received salvation and those that need to hear about this salvation. So the main guy in this story here is Zechariah. Zechariah is a Jewish priest, and one night while serving in the temple,
he received an unexpected blessing from God. Zachariah has a wife, Elizabeth, and they both shared in the pain of not being able to have any children, which in the Jewish culture, this would have been considered that they had not received a blessing from God. But while Zechariah was placing an offering of incense to God for the people in the temple, he was visited by an angel who told him of how the Lord would soon be coming and that Elizabeth would have a child that was going to prepare the way for him. Instead of accepting what the angel had told him, he questioned it and he doubted it. And because of this, the angel made him mute. After some time, when he returned home, Elizabeth became pregnant, and she gave birth to a boy. When they went to name the boy, Elizabeth said she wanted to call him John, but those around challenged this, because at this time it would have been custom for the child to be named after their father or after another family member. So they turned to Zechariah to question it with Zechariah and gave him a tablet, because at this point, remember, he is still mute. So they gave it to him, and Zechariah wrote down John on the tablet, and immediately his mouth was opened, and he began to speak, praising God. So originally, he doubted God, but he did obey, because during his time of being mute, he still followed God. And then at the end, when he got questioned of what name he should name his child, he obeyed God and named him John. And because of this, he was forgiven. So we can gain hope from this, even with our shortcomings, that God can still work through us and do amazing things through us. So you might look at this and be like, well, that's a little bit harsh. He simply asked the question of the angel. And a few chapters before, you can see how Mary did the same thing when she was visited by an angel. However, there's a little bit more to it than that. Zechariah would have spent his entire life studying the Old Testament. He would have known the scriptures inside and out, and he would have known how God had done all of this before when he gave Abraham and Sarah their son Isaac. So he knew that God had power to do it, but yet he questioned him. So this brings us up then to the beginning of our text, where Zechariah has received his son, has named his son John, and has been filled with the Holy Spirit, and begins to prophesy. Salvation, salvation, salvation. So there are three things that we're going to look at. We receive salvation from God. We reap the salvation from God. And we sow the salvation for God. So we receive salvation from God. Zechariah has just had his firstborn. He's holding him in his arms to name him, and he's freed from being mute. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever had kids. Thankfully, I haven't. After having observed my two nephews, I don't think I could cope. But when I first held my two nephews in my arms, it was amazing. I was a very happy and proud uncle of little Reuben and little Alfie. And I proudly say I am Alfie's favorite, just to put that out there. However, I think when I first held those children, I sang their praises of how amazing they were. But when Zechariah held up his son, he didn't start singing the praises of his son. He immediately started singing the praises of God, of what God had done. Of the 12 verses in his prophecy, the first 8 don't even mention his son John, but something so much more. Praise be to the Lord God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us. Zechariah is speaking in past tense here because he is so confident of what the Lord will do that he has viewed it as already done. This image of a raised up horn comes from many references in the Old Testament where God's salvation is compared to the strength and the defensive power of an animal with horns. Like the animal, it would lower his horns and it would drive away enemies. So the Lord would do this for us. And this is so different from what we're used to in life. See, usually we have to do the work to go and receive the reward. But with Christ, it's the other way around. We have been granted the reward because he has already done the work. The people of Israel would have been waiting to hear this message, as they've been promised this through David and Abraham's covenants, to be rescued. But they had looked at it like an earthly rescue, like their ancestors had been freed from slavery in Egypt. But this was a personal rescue. This was personal salvation. Luke 12 tells us our struggle is not against the flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. It's just like when I jumped out of the canoe. You see, I seen what I wanted. I wanted the paddle. It was right there, and I could grab it. I could turn around and just get back into the canoe. But there were so many forces against me. The currents of the water, the waves to swim over, how the life jacket and the clothing I was wearing would resist going through the water, the freezing cold temperatures, them shutting down my system. So many unseen things that I had to battle against. I wonder, do you feel like this? Does everything in life just seem to be like a battle for you? Maybe you need this reminder tonight of the salvation that you have in Christ. Or maybe you've never even experienced this salvation. You see, if we had received our salvation earlier, we could have avoided the whole situation. Now, I'm not saying that as Christians, it's going to be problem-free. We still have times of trial. However, we have God right there with us to guide us through it and to fight alongside us. We can try and fight our battles on our own and forget God. Just like we tried to fight against the sea, we tied our canoes together in the hope that we would support and help one another, and we went back out into sea, but it wasn't enough. We tried under our own strength, and what happened? We sunk a canoe. If only we had been able to receive that salvation of the safety boat and be guided safe to shore through all of the difficult waters. See, we hadn't received our salvation. It wasn't offered to us until the very end. But God is offering salvation to you right now. There is no waiting time, which means we can immediately experience his salvation and we can reap it. We can reap the salvation from God once we accept that salvation. And verse 71 says, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Because once we accept this salvation from God, we are rescued from the power of our enemies. That dominion that Satan holds that dominion Satan holds over us, the corruption, the temptations, God will free us from them. See, this is the covenant in which God had promised to their forefathers. This complete restoration in the favor of God. We can accept this salvation. We are receiving it through God's mercy. We have done nothing to deserve this gift, but thankfully it does not fall on our merit. We do not have to do the works to try and gain favor with God. In society at the moment, it's really easy to see the pain and the destruction, the sin in the world. Simply turn on the news and you will hear the latest horror stories. The murders, the gun crimes, the attacks, the wars that are going on across the world. Especially now that we have such a quick access to this information, we can find ourselves getting bogged down in the evil that is in this world. The weight of our own sins can lay so heavy on our hearts that we can start to feel trapped by it, that we can start to feel controlled by it. You might be looking at me and going, but Reese, you're but a boy. How do you have any idea of the struggles that are in my life? And you're right, I am. I can't tell you of the pain that's been in your life, but I can tell you of the salvation that can save you from it. In Hebrews 2, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in the slavery by fear of death. For surely it is not the angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might come a merciful and a faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered, he was tempted, and he is able to help those who are being tempted. The work has been done by Christ. He has came and he has suffered. And why? Verse 74, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies, to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness, in righteousness, before him all our days. Reap your salvation from God. Reap the freedom that Christ gives you in his mercy. When life comes your way, when temptations come your way, stand strong in that hope that Christ has given you. Stand and serve God without fear. And with this, sow that salvation. You need to receive that salvation from God. When you receive it, you reap the benefits of that salvation, and through that, you can then go and sow it. And this is where we now see the shift in Zechariah's song. He changes from addressing and praising God to what his son John is now going to do. How can people receive this salvation or reap the salvation if it was never even sown in the first place? In verse 76 we read, and you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation. What good is it for you to have this salvation, to have this mercy, and to not tell anyone about it? Here Zechariah has prophesied of things that God is going to do through his son. John is needed to pave the way for Christ. It says he is to prepare the way for him. John was filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. He lived in the desert, probably to enhance his spiritual growth. It allowed him time to focus on the message from God, and it kept him separate from the economic, the political, and the hypocritical religious powers that his message came to contend. His life was devoted to preparing the way for Jesus' ministry. And then when it was time to step out of the way, he just gave all the spotlight over to Jesus. What does this mean for us now then? Well, if you have the salvation in your life of Jesus Christ, who are you sowing it to? Who in your workplace? Who in your school? Maybe people in your own home? In the coffee shops we go to, in the sports clubs or the weekly activities we engage with? Who are you telling about this salvation that they can receive through the forgiveness of their sins from Jesus Christ? I've learnt from my mistakes. Keith said earlier on in the week, I already knew not to jump out of a canoe. I didn't. But now I know the dangers and the difficulties that the sea can bring. I know the importance of having a safety boat there. But more importantly, from this, I have learned how to manage a canoe better. I know how to steer it through trouble. I know how to manage waves. I know how to paddle more effectively and more efficiently. And if the canoe capsizes, I know how to rescue it by myself. And with this knowledge, I can now go and I can teach others how to safely operate a canoe themselves so that they might never be in the situation that I got myself into. And if you're a Christian here tonight, and you think that I received this salvation a long time ago, you know, maybe you're a young person here tonight, and you've already received this salvation, but you can struggle to see the power in your testimony because you don't have some crazy story about how you received this salvation. I've heard it too many times from young people and from people saying that I have a boring testimony because they became a Christian when they were young and have been living their life for Christ since then. How much of a blessing you really have. Christ saved you from the despair of a life without him. You are living a life without fear, walking in the holiness and the righteousness of God. That is not boring. You heard the amazing power of Christ, and now you follow him. Use this time now to become wiser, to become stronger in your faith, that you might save others from the despair in their lives. The rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. Are you walking in a path of peace? Have you received true salvation? Are you reaping the benefits of that salvation? And are you sowing that salvation? Have you received that salvation from God, that free forgiveness of your sins through Jesus Christ? Reaping the benefits of that salvation? Maybe you're a Christian tonight and you just need to be reminded of that mercy. You've been relying so much on your own understanding and you need to start giving more over to God. And then please tonight, turn to prayer, turn to God, and start devoting time to God this evening. Maybe you're not a Christian, and you want to know more about this freedom that can be found in God. Then please come speak to myself, turn to who you came with, or come and speak to one of the members of the church, and they will happily tell you of the joy in the salvation that they have from Jesus Christ. And finally, sow that salvation for God. This joy that you have in your life from your salvation, share it. John prepared the way for Jesus to come, and then he got out of the way. Well, Jesus is coming back. He will return, so now it's our time to prepare the way for him, to stand strong in our faith without fear, to serve those that are in the darkness, show them the light, and lead them to the path of peace, so that they themselves can receive salvation. They themselves can experience that joy and freedom in Jesus Christ.